You're listening to a session from the Sunstone 2013 Salt Lake City Symposium at the University of Utah. This particular session was recorded on August 1st, 2013, and is titled The Body Unveiled, featuring Katrina Barker Anderson and Paul McMullen. Sunstone depends on your generous support to fund projects like this podcast and other important endeavors in Mormon culture, scholarship, and restorationist pursuits. Please consider a donation at sunstonemagazine.com.
Welcome to session 113, The Body Unveiled. Please turn off all your cell phones and also make sure to go check out the book sales. All right, our first presenter will be Katrina Barker Anderson, who is a photographer, mother, and fierce feminist. She is passionate about women's issues, especially pertaining to birth and breastfeeding. Her latest photography project, called Mormon Women Bear, an exploration of body image within a patriarchal tradition. Katrina has a BA in communications from BYU and lives in Salt Lake City with her husband Jared and their 5 children. You can see her work at katrinaanderson.com and katrinabanderson.com and mormonwomenbear.com. And did you say that your photography was somewhere in the building?
Yes, it's up displayed on the mezzanine level, so if you walk all the way down the hall, and then go up the stairs to see it.
Perfect.
There's a little lobby area over there set up.
Great. And then our second presenter will be Paul McMullen, who is a husband and a father who enjoys hiking and camping with his family. He's a structural engineer who works on heavy industrial projects and teaches as an adjunct professor. Working in film, he is passionate about the human form, seeing it as a direct window to the soul and the ultimate expression of human vulnerability.
I guess I'll come over here. Well, it's certainly early in the morning, and I think, like, half people are going to walk in at, like, 9. So that'll be fun. Thanks for coming out this morning. I'm going to talk about this project. I'm not going to pull it up yet, but I'll pull up the website in a minute. So, Mormon Women Bear is about reclaiming. It is about women reclaiming our bodies from a culture that teaches... Hold on. I just forgot. I'm going to record this for myself. Sorry, guys. Stay with me for a minute. We'll let the stragglers come in. Okay, starting over. Mormon Women Bear is about reclaiming. It is about women reclaiming our bodies from a culture that teaches us that we belong to men, to God, to the society that objectifies us. It is about reclaiming the female body as more than just an object of lust or something to resist. Through images and personal stories, this project breaks taboos by unabashedly showing what is supposed to be covered, our female form, while also exposing the often not talked about price of a culture that places a woman's ultimate value on her so-called virtue. The women shown are not paid models. They are your daughters and mothers, sisters and friends. They are different ages, shapes, and sizes. What they have in common is a shared history with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, a tradition that seeks to both exalt the body as divine while treating its natural impulses as temptations to be overcome. These women show incredible bravery and vulnerability to share their stories through their words and their bodies. Together, we aim to show that bodies are beautiful and sacred, flawed and powerful, earthly and divine. Okay, so I'm having a little come-to-Jesus moment for everybody before I go on. Especially for the guys. This is not pornography. While I recognize that you can look at these photos and be aroused, this is not their intent. Yes, these are naked women. Yes, they are beautiful. We could acknowledge that and then move on to the real point of the project, to empower and validate women. Recently, my friend Teresa Edmonds wrote the following as part of a post on Feminist Mormon Housewives. She said, "You see a woman you find sexy, you allow yourself the thought without judgment, and then you wonder what her childhood is like, what her hopes and dreams are, what the names of her children are, what she wanted to be when she grew up. if she's a cat person or a dog person, if she has any food allergies, what her political beliefs are. Instead of seeing a sexy woman and taking a right down sexual fantasy lane, you take a left down She's a Person Boulevard. You don't belittle or shame yourself, because that is what you've been taught to do your whole life, and it only makes the problem bigger. You recognize that sexual attraction is something to master, and then you master it by humanizing the person you're attracted to instead of objectifying them further. Did you catch that last sentence? You recognize that sexual attraction is something to master, and then you master it by humanizing the person you're attracted to instead of objectifying them further. That is a big part of what I'm trying to accomplish with this project. In our culture, we aren't used to seeing nudity as anything other than sexual and titillating. However, we can look at a photo of a naked woman, appreciate it, find her attractive, and then move on to thinking of her as a whole person, listen to her story, admire her vulnerability. While on the one hand, taking a photo of a person does turn her or his image into an object, we don't need to objectify the person any further. The woman can remain the subject of the image while we appreciate the message behind the art. I'd like to share a comment from a male friend who viewed the website earlier this week. He said, "Like any good heterosexual male, I immediately went to the gallery. I was looking at them with my wife. I was surprised by the range of emotions I felt. A little shock at first, followed by an empathetic fear realizing that anybody could see these, and I know and love some of these beautiful women. Then a deep respect for the sheer courage of what this project represents. Then a few random questions about why, followed by a quick mental self-slapping of, why do you feel you need to even ask that question? These empowered women have a message to share that is deeply personal, passionate, and uniquely individual. Instead of wondering why, do the loving thing and read what they each wrote and be open to understanding each one. Wow, I never expected tears. After each bio, I cried, each for a different reason. I felt the pain each have felt in their lives, being sexually controlled, objectified, and suppressed by an institution, and particularly the males that rule therein. I felt the evolving strength of each woman. I wanted to cheer and applaud after each reading, followed by the shame that I had formerly participated as one of the male sheep leaders that at times gave instruction that added to the abuse of these women. My cheering became sadness. Here we go again. The Kubler-Ross grief cycle rears its ever presence. Denial, negotiation, anger, sadness, and hopefully acceptance. The steps we must go through to heal. Each of these fabulous women have clearly done this well. Now it's my turn." So I urge everyone here to do what my friend did. Take the time to read what these courageous women have written. Let their stories touch you. Try to understand what these women have experienced and why they felt this was a worthwhile project to participate in. Now that I got that out of the way, I'd like to talk about how this project came to be and why I view it as primarily something for women. Last year, several stories came out, one right after another, all having to do with modesty in the Mormon culture. A story appeared in The Friend about a young girl shaming her friend for not dressing modestly enough. A BYU student was chastised via note from a male student for wearing leggings. A BYU Idaho student was not allowed to take a test because her jeans were too form-fitting. After hearing these stories and others, I threw up my hands in exasperation. What on earth is going on in our culture? I don't remember it being like this when I was a child and teen growing up in the church, and I'm not even that old. Why has the modesty culture of the LDS Church gotten so extreme in the past few years, and what can we do about it? Women around the world deal with objectification, body shame, and the burden of the male gaze. Mormon women have an added layer of complexity and heavy expectations. While being warned against becoming walking pornography, an exact quote from General Authority, we also face immense pressure to be attractive and fit. We must both attract and protect against male desire. Even though Mormonism teaches us our destiny is to become like our embodied heavenly parents, the hyper-focus on modesty leaves many of us feeling disconnected and ambivalent about our bodies. Our sense of self can feel so eclipsed by the expectation to be a wife and mother that we no longer see our bodies as our own. Separated from our skin by layers of clothing, many Mormon women lose touch with the capabilities and power we innately possess. So why nude photos? In a previous project, I used photography to help normalize breastfeeding. I found that the more we see something, the more normal and less taboo it becomes. Knowing that images can be very powerful tools for change, and being familiar with photographer Matt Bloom's The New Project, where he also photographs nude women, I was inspired to do something similar with Mormon women. I think that taking a step toward normalizing nudity by seeing what women really look like proves incredibly powerful for the women who view these images. We are so bombarded with reasons to feel shame about our bodies. Most of the images we see of women's bodies are very thin, a very ideal. In reality, very few of us actually fit this so-called ideal. It is unrealistic to expect all of us to be perfectly thin and sculpted, with perky breasts and no cellulite. For women to see that other women are not perfect and yet are stunningly beautiful is immensely affirming. For the women who choose to be photographed, this act of artistic expression helps them reclaim their bodies while protesting a system that has told them they must remain covered and careful. Through their images and personal narratives, they are shown as beautiful, flawed, vulnerable, and real. Women of different shapes and sizes and ages demonstrate that bodies need not bring shame, but can be owned, celebrated, and honored. Sharing the model stories was also very important to me, because I knew that including each woman's own words, along with her photographs, would help put the viewer in a position of empathy and compassion instead of critique and objectification. I'd like to now share portions of what the models wrote. Some shared very straightforward thoughts and experiences. Others expressed themselves through poetry. I'm deeply, deeply grateful for each of these women's words and sad that I can't share everything. But I'm going to pull up the website while I read these. Okay, there it is. Let me see if I can. Okay, so that should just kind of scroll through some of them. The first one is from Grace. Mormonism taught me to believe that my body is not entirely my own. I was taught to remain passively in restraint until my eventual husband could make my body ours. I think that too often Mormon women wait for and rely on their husbands or the births of their children to validate the beauty, divinity, and power of their womanhood. I am continuously seeking to fully realize that my femininity and sexuality are as present and valid as that of the wives and mothers around me. I am learning more and more that simply being a woman is enough to make me a whole person. From Lisette, my body is a gift. My body is a temple. My body is like a glove housing my spirit. My body needs to be kept clean. My body should be covered. My body is surging with hormones and curiosities that tempt me to sin. My body provokes unclean thoughts in young men. My body is the natural man, an enemy to God. My body is bad. I wage war against it. It is not me. It is separate. I do not love my body. I hate it. I hate it. Until I grow a body inside my body. Until I birth a body from my body. Until I feed his little body with my body, then hers, and now I am here, one more baby, and another chance to heal, to marvel, to learn to love this body that is mine, this body that is me. From Kara, Mormonism has taught me to both embrace and to fear my body. If the body is eternal, it is a precious thing to be revered and cared for. But we are also taught that it has nearly uncontrollable appetites. As I've matured, I've come to a more balanced realization of my body. I've come to not expect perfection from it and instead appreciate what it can do. I've come to not be overly worried with my appearance, but value who I am apart from my body. I've come not to fear it, but embrace it, particularly overcoming the fear and forbidden fruit-type fascination with sex, instead coming into an balance of acceptance and confidence and playfulness. Monica, it's a good body. It runs and explores and climbs mountains, gardens and sings and makes music, and it's always been mine. I shocked myself a little when I volunteered for this photo shoot, but it cemented a belief I've worked very hard in the last few years to develop, that contrary to the omnipresent shame most women have about not conforming to strictly enforced and narrowly defined beauty standards, my body is, in fact, good. My experience growing up Mormon never really helped me overcome the shame women generally internalize about our bodies. If anything, Mormon patriarchy supported that shame, and modesty doctrine deepened it. But as I have slowly learned to combat the shame, there are Mormon doctrines that have supported me in my journey to love my body. If this is the body in which I will be resurrected, even exalted, then I'd better get comfortable. If Heavenly Mother and Heavenly Father have bodies, what really are the chances, out of all the millennia of Earth's history, that their bodies conform to the superficial standards set up by capitalist money grubbers in one small part of one small century. I haven't always loved my big butt and poochy stomach, but they tell me I'm my mother's daughter and my mother's mother's granddaughter. I've never loved my autoimmune disease, type 1 diabetes, but it connects me to my two type 1 cousins and my hypoglycemic grandpa. We may be alone in our bodies, but we're also in these bodies together, and they're good bodies. From Genevieve, she wrote a poem called Transition. This body, living for years and days, walking, running, leaping, huddling with books, clothed or naked, bone and sinew and blood and flesh, housing the essence of myself with joy, and then, subtly, gradually owned by words from a pulpit, engraving lines in my skin, separating good from bad, virgin from whore, inexorably building towering moral enclosures, held together with a wrapping of thin white cotton. So this body could sit, listen, obey, clenched with guilt, always clothed, bone and sinew and blood and a little more flesh, hiding the essence of myself with shame, and then tentatively, deliberately, powerfully awakened by words of my sisters, my mothers, and my goddesses. I pulled off that thin white cotton and thrust it from me. And now this body dances, surges, creates, and embraces myself. Lastly, I'm going to read from Brooke, who also talked about the experience of taking off her garments for the last time. Suddenly, she was me again. I was her. No longer unfamiliar with the infidel in the mirror, this girl without garments. That single swish of Levi against thigh brought me into myself, grounded me in the moment. I stepped again and felt for the first time my own legs under my own pants. No barrier between my body and my belief. I lifted my t-shirt and saw a belly button and alabaster skin. They no longer belonged under a sheet or shroud. This body was no longer something to be hidden or harbored. It was mine. It was mine. It was mine to feel and command and care for. It was mine to dress and sunbathe and sit in. It was mine to walk as I pleased to the places I pleased in the moments I pleased, forever following the whims and will of my own heart, my own head, my own sacred understandings. It was mine. This body belonged to me. I fell reflexively into rejoicing. God, I love this body. I love this body. I love this body. I am beyond grateful for these women, for their stories, and for their willingness to show us who they are. By showing women as natural, normal, and diverse, I feel we can help combat the shame many of us feel about our bodies. When we can see that most of the women around us are imperfect, and yet so full of beauty, courage, and light, then we begin to have more compassion for ourselves. The women you see were photographed in comfortable, safe places, most often in their very own homes. Each of them exhibited some nerves as we began, but soon relaxed and settled into ease with her body. I was so humbled by each of their bravery and vulnerability. Many of them have expressed what an empowering experience being part of this has been for them. My hope is that everyone who sees these images and reads these women's stories will walk away having internalized the truth that women are more than bodies to be objectified or discounted and more than our so-called virtue. We are whole and complex individuals of extraordinary capabilities and strength.
Nice to be here this morning. I'd be more comfortable if you looked like engineers. What I want to do is talk today about this journey I've been on, and I call it journey for a good reason, for about the last 5 or 6 years related to nude art. And it's been a journey that's involved my wife deeply and been a challenge at times for her. And for me, and also my kids, as we've printed nude art in the darkroom together and had conversations about what that is and what that means. So rather than talking about why I like photography and how I got started there, I'll just start. And what I'm going to do is kind of play some images while I talk, and this will probably be more visually interesting than what I have to say. But I hope you listen to both and hear both. Nude art photography amazes me. From the remarkable lines and shapes of the human form and the reality exposes to the ability of both the photographer to compose and light the subject and the camera to record, I am in awe. As an engineer, I spend my days designing structures and balancing the environmental loads with the requirements of the client and the limited resources available. I frequently observe the human body and see the perfection of form and function and strive for that in my engineering. Seen one way, the human body is a remarkable system. It heats and cools itself, generates its own energy, is its own vehicle, processes the food and liquid it takes in, fights off disease and infection, has a series of protective coverings, holds itself up, and thinks independently. And of course, the list could go on and on. Seen another way, it is absolutely amazing to look upon, both from a sensual and a purely aesthetic point of view. And when I say aesthetic or beautiful, I don't mean the narrow view of what society tells us about these attributes, but rather the kind of varied beauty we see in nature. My interest in the human form... Are those moving forward? Are they stuck? That's unfortunate. Oh, there we go. Okay. My interest in the human form developed over the past 10 to 15 years, but confused me at first. Pursuing frequent interest in the nude body, I would look online only to find disgusting, sexually charged images of unnatural bodies that left me feeling ashamed and discouraged. There was something trapped inside of me which desired a connection with my body and humanity. It, as I'll call it today, wanted to get out. However, the feelings it generated were fairly convoluted. As the voice became louder, I eventually found a few odds and ends online that were satisfying and enlightening and didn't leave me feeling dirty. So I'll just let these run for a minute, then I'll show you some of the stuff online that actually started helping me make sense of this. This was out near the edge of the Great Salt Lake, near the Spiral Jetty. There's some old piles there. This fellow here is one of my favorite people to work with. He's terribly creative and has absolutely no shame about running around naked anywhere he is. So one of the influential photographers that I came across online was a fellow named Andy Metal. I don't know if that's his real name, but he's a fetish photographer. And this image, I think, was one of the first ones I saw that I looked at and said, there's something here that's different than pornography by a tremendous distance. And I think the connection visually that this person makes with the photographer and the camera is what talks to me here. This next one, I think from a feminist point of view, might make some people uncomfortable. And I wouldn't say that I'm completely without challenge anymore about this, but I think what this image said to me was there's something related to sensuality and on the fetish side that is beautiful, and there are people who that is who they are. As I drove up here this morning, there's a new song out about a gay rapper, I think. I'm not sure what the whole story is there. I'm not as socially advanced as my wife is. But it was very powerful to me, and I was actually bawling because it was be yourself, be who you are. And I think this image was one of the first that I saw that made me realize there may be something to be said, even with photography and art, that pushes the comfort level. I found Flickr one morning while I was traveling, and it was awesome. Suddenly there was this community of really good photographers that were sharing their work, and I started coming across these images that really spoke to me. I like this one a lot because of the feeling of freedom and the acceptance of who she is. This is not your typical 18-year-old model, although she's fairly skinny. This woman I came to talk to quite a bit through another project I did, who had suffered quite a bit of loss with one of her children early in her child's life, and had used photography as a way to work through that pain. So as I began to find this part of myself, a number of fears crept in. I'm told that some see fear as the opposite of joy, and that when we are experiencing great joy, we are vulnerable to experience serious fear. I found myself in this strange dichotomy between my religion and my newfound passion. Some of the questions that arose were, is this pornography? That's probably not a surprise. What happens if the bishop or that sister in the ward finds out? I happened to have that sister in my scout group at one point. I teach here at the U in the architecture department, and I've done a fair amount of school district work on the engineering side, and I was always uncomfortable what happens if someone finds out and freaks out about it. The garment question came up frequently. And then the question of how will my wife respond to this was always present. These things I wrestled with for some time. I think what got me through the fear, and still does, was holding it gently, as my wife Carrie would say. Rather than trying to resolve anything, I just held space for the dichotomy and let my experiences and mind bring sanity to it. And I would say at this point, I'm relatively comfortable with the seeming incongruencies between my religion, which I hold tightly, I would say, and my nude art. So as time passed by, I wasn't satisfied with just observing nude art. I wanted to make nude art, and for me, I'm a maker. I like to make things with my hands. However, living in an exceptionally conservative state, I was unsure how to find somebody who was be willing to get naked in front of my camera. It's not like you walk into your relief society on Tuesday night and ask for volunteers. I eventually searched online for a group that did some form of nude art, hoping to find a painting or an artist group that would let me come as they painted somebody. Eventually I found the Salt Lake Fine Art Photography Meetup group, which was started by a young aspiring couple, and it's been a remarkable experience. A lot of these images are from that work with that group. And to add beauty to the first session I did with them, it was at an abandoned mill down in Utah County, which matched one of my passions is old structures. Before I started photographing people, I created several Flickr groups related to nude art. On Flickr, a lot of the groups are terribly moderated, and there's a lot of crap that creeps in. And so I started a handful that I wanted to be fairly clean as far as the quality of the work. But what I noticed over time is that a lot of the images and even the photographers just evaporated. I know some people say, be careful what you put online, it'll always be there. I think digital storage is one of the most unstable ways of preserving anything. And I have found that digital images don't seem to stick around on the internet very long. This digital impermanence led me to the idea to put together a series of books that were essentially a collection of photographs and stories from my Flickr amigos. I contacted a bunch of them, told them what my thought was, got a lot of positive response, and was in 2010, 2011, started the first project, which I titled Nude Close-Up. And at the time, I wasn't comfortable using my name, so I used this pseudonym of E.G. Irwin, which E.G. stands for Escalante and Glen Canyon. I hope someday Glen Canyon gets drained. And then George Irwin was a fracture mechanics guy, so it kind of brings my engineering side into it. Anyway, let me just read a few things from about the book and kind of give you an idea of what it is. And these images aren't mine, so I've added a copyright tag for them. Please tell me if they don't advance. So many nude art books focus on the entire body or substantial parts of it. This book focuses on the amazingness of the details. I do a lot of still design, and details are what holds it all together. So when I focus on details, it's not looking past the person, it's looking at the beauty of what's there. This volume provides a collection of remarkable nude photographic images that explore the details and wonder of the human form close up. Although it's common when photographing human skin to use techniques to smooth out its natural texture, many images here were intentionally chosen for their realistic portrayal of the landscape of the body. This provides a realism rarely seen in many commercial images today. Nipples are subtly bumpy, breasts are not volleyball-shaped, labia are amazingly intricate and different, and even the penis is shapely. Yes, even the penis is shapely. Some photographs are fairly subtle, others are rather challenging. However, each image was chosen on the basis of its ability to artistically convey the various forms of the human body, tell a story, and inspire. Hands down, the best part of putting the project together was the people I met and came to know. While I believe in photos that tell a story, I came to find that the images also gave insight into the lives of the photographers and people photographed. I never expected the friendships that developed and the intimate experiences shared. I have come to know a small portion of their lives and saw a glimpse of their joys and challenges. This has ranged from a lovely woman who lost her young son to someone who has gone through several abusive relationships and is now finding healing in modeling, to a self-portraitist who has overcome severe social anxiety by photographing herself, to a photographer who is in a public position and anonymously photographs some of his friends in other positions, or in similar public positions. Some of the countries represented in the book include Argentina, Belgium, Canada, Chile, Colombia, the Czech Republic, Egypt, France, Germany, Ireland, Israel, Italy. You know, I'm getting all emotional. Japan, the Philippines, Poland, Romania, Russia, Sweden, South Africa, Spain, Sweden, the Netherlands, the UK, and the US. I had the pleasure of fumbling my way through French, Italian, Spanish, and German. The translation program Babelfish online was awesome. I hope I didn't offend anyone too bad with my translations, but knowing my lack of political correctness, I'm sure I did. Unfortunately, two negative sides of the exploration of the human form exist: narrowism and pornography. Regarding pornography, to me it simply comes down to respect or disrespect. Art respects the human body, pornography disrespects it. Art celebrates the form of the body and tries to express the immensity of the human experience, including sex. Pornography exploits the body, sensationalizes natural relationships, and degrades the senses. I see nude art and pornography as two opposing poles of a magnet, always pushing against each other. I emphatically do not see nude art as a stepping stone to pornography. Even when you add erotic art into the discussion, it comes down to respect. If you respect the human form, then nude expressions of it, even intimate ones, are inspiring. If you disrespect the human form, pornography is the natural result of expression. I consider the next topic to be equally damaging, possibly more so, given its subtlety. I call it narrowism, and there may be other terms that people use. The belief that true beauty and sensuality fit into an exceptionally small box. To illustrate the point, I recall reading a book on working with models, wherein the author devoted an entire chapter to describing different shapes of breasts and ranking them in order of desirability in a model. We see damaging messages every day in the media and from social pressures. While this fellow is certainly entitled to his opinion about the ideal shape of a breast, there is tremendous variation in bodies and attraction to them, and that's what makes us human, and that's what makes us interesting. The downside to this narrowness of thought is countless women and men who are insecure about the way their bodies look suffer greatly and needlessly. I make it a point to talk with the models who I work with how they perceive their bodies. Even those who more closely fit the perceived social definition of perfection have very substantial insecurities about their bodies. They have said, "My left breast is slightly smaller than my right one. My nose is a little crooked from a childhood accident. Don't take a photo of my bum. And, of course, my insert body part here is too fat." These nuances and differences are what make these people interesting, not the ability to be the same. In a culture that prides itself on independence and uniqueness, there is a remarkably strange and unhealthy preoccupation with fitting into the mold of perfection. No two snowflakes are alike. Why not break the mold and embrace the uniqueness of every body? So this journey has not been without substantial challenge for my wife and for our relationship. There were two periods when I needed to put my nude art photography on hold to allow us to work through some things. The most recent one, which actually lasted a year and a half, was... if I can do this. It was centered around coming to the realization that in my wife's family growing up, there was tremendous addiction. And the effect that that had on her was remarkable. And after being married for 15 years, I was pissed off the day I realized that it affected me tremendously as well, and our children. So the last 2 years in our family have been kind of this wild roller coaster of understanding addiction, dealing with it, watching her mother get sober, and then working through our own personal shit that had come up through 15 years of marriage and dealing with addiction and not really understanding it. We're not done. I'm sure we won't ever be done, but I'm grateful for where we are, and I'm exceptionally grateful for the hard work that my wife Carrie has done in recovering from that, and also the work she's done in understanding what nude art is for me, and that it's not about leaving her and finding a better looking woman, but it's about exploring humanity for me. Alright, usually this is not my normal way of presenting when I teach. So during this time of not doing nude art, it caused me to really reevaluate what it is for me. It was a fairly long and painful process. There were some long conversations. There were a lot of tears. There was a lot of frustration. But what ended up bubbling up was the following. First off, I'm in awe of the human form. Not just a supposedly perfect skinny model body, but all bodies. And I'm quite serious about that when I say all bodies. Nude art is the way I have come to understand and have compassion for people. Nude art has been a remarkable avenue to explore vulnerability and connection. It has helped me be in tune with my own body and have greater compassion for others and their challenges. And lastly, I am a nude art photographer. It's a fundamental part of who I am, and it doesn't work for me to not accept that and celebrate that. So this refining process led me now to what I call my humanity project. My tagline is exploring connection, vulnerability, and the human experience through nude art. So reading a little bit from my website, which is new as of a couple months ago, humanity explores what motivates people deep inside and what connects us together. It is about escaping society's narrow description of beauty. It is about discovering who we truly are, because there really is no mold to cram ourselves into. We are all unique, and that's honestly what makes us beautiful. So why nude? Because there's nothing to hide behind. Being naked removes internal and external expectations and references and simply leaves behind our true selves. It is the window to the human experience, showing our humanity and how we are connected by similar hopes and fears and pain. You are perfect for this project because you are you. All that is required is the courage to be vulnerable long enough to let the camera see you as you are. You don't need to hit the gym extra hard or wait until you shed a few pounds. I want you the way you are. So you're all invited to participate. The only requirement is that you're breathing. So some of the themes I'm looking for, the first one is this is me. That would actually be you, just the way you are. Motherhood, both pregnancy and postpartum. Aging, medical change, yoga and meditation. I'm not talking crazy yoga, I'm talking just normal person yoga. body art, mothers and daughters, adult mothers and daughters and fathers and sons. LGBT, alternate lifestyle, and then landmarks where it's legal, so we'd have to travel out of state. So what I'm looking for really is people who are willing to be vulnerable and real in this project. So in summary, nude art has totally changed my view of a host of things. It's the way I've connected with humanity. I'm fascinated by all bodies and find great beauty in the variation. I see modesty completely different. It's not about what's on our bodies, but what's going on in our heads. I firmly believe it's not women's role to protect men from their beauty and sensuality. As men, it's our role to respect women and see them as more than an image. I'm very clear on what pornography is for me and strongly believe it is different for everybody. I have a deep respect for more sensual, even erotic work. Photography in general and nude art in particular has taught me how to see. And I just love watching people. I was fortunate to go to Africa in January for 2 weeks. And I couldn't close my eyes. It was fascinating watching the people and how they live and their dress. So in closing, I want to read the intro paragraph to my book, which, by the way, has sold 4 copies in the last 3 years. I'm not a marketer by heart. I'm an engineer. The arts are the seminal expression of the soul. They lift our spirit to the heavens, express our deepest emotions, and challenge us to refine our beliefs and prejudices. Nude art lays bare the depth of human frailty and carries us to the heights of the soul's resilience and every place in between. It provides no place to hide. The magnificence of the nude form in photography pushes deeply and broadly into the full range of human complexity and struggle. It permits the viewer access to a remarkable range of loveliness and harshness. It reminds us every body is remarkable in its own right, regardless of societal perceptions of beauty. If art gives voice to the soul, then nude art gives flight to that voice. Thank you.
This is Kate. We have about 15 minutes for Q&A. I'm giving the mic to any questions so we get the recording.
I would like to applaud the panelists and the presenters today. I'll focus more on the masculine side of this subject. So some others to respond to Katrina, but I want to thank Paul for sharing his passion with us today.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I'd like to compliment his wife for being here and sharing that and her self with us today. I'm a photographer, and I've done some of this kind of photography, which is sort of taboo in our culture. And I think we all need to keep in mind a couple of things. First of all, the body, according to our beliefs, is created in the image of God. So where the shame part comes in is leads me back to just really puritanical thinking. So we're sharing something that's obviously quite marvelous and looking at it. The tools of a photographer are the camera and the media that the photographer uses is print and digital. And for those who use those media and tools to exploit the human body, it is very shameful, and that's what pornographers do. And that's why the subject of pornography is so infuriating to good photographers, because they're taking their tools and their media and they're exploiting it for nothing more than personal gain. And regardless of they have no regard for their subjects. But what we see here today is really the opposite of that. We see the elevation of the beauty of the human form, again, created in God's image, and total respect for it. And I want to thank you for that, for sharing it. I want to thank you, Paul, for your courage in bringing this to our attention today and sharing your exploration and your experience with us, and for the applaudable reasons.
Thank you. It's very kind.
And very quickly, I'd like to comment on the two words nude and naked, because they are very different. We could say, I think, that Adam and Eve in the garden before the apple were nude, and after the apple, they were naked. There is an expression of shame or naughtiness associated with the word naked.
Yes.
And I would like you to comment on that with respect to your respective photos.
Well, I agree. I think naked kind of brings some shame to it. And I think nude makes it, as my wife would say, it normalizes it. It makes us all together. I was in the dark room with my son one day, who was 5 at the time, and I said, we were printing news, and he said, or I said, you know, you may not want to share this with all your friends down the street, because not every family sees nude art the way we do. And he looked at me with a real curious look, and he said, well, that's funny. Don't they understand their nudes, too?
I think that language is powerful, and so while the definition of naked and nude just means without clothing, using nude just kind of elevated. But I still will use the word naked in the right context. Like with my kids, you know, I tell them it's okay to be naked, it's something to be naked, because they can run around the house naked, they're little kids. You know, so I'm not like using being nude in our house. It sounds a little pretentious and that thing. But when you're talking about art, nude is, I think, again, the best word.
All right, so I'm doing a panel on modesty later this afternoon, and I came across this quote, and it's perfect, so I'd like you to respond to it. It's by John Berger, who's an art critic. He did a series called Ways of Seeing for the BBC, and he said that to be naked is to be seen and recognized as oneself, to be without pretense or disguise. However, to be nude is to be seen naked yet not recognized as oneself, to have the skin and hair of the body become a disguise. And what's worse, it is a disguise that cannot be discarded. The female nude will never be more than an object of male desire. So that is the male gaze and the female nude. I'd like your response.
That was super interesting right after our last comment. Having never heard that before, it's hard for me to really comment. I mean, I feel like the writer is just taking the terms and giving new definition to them. So I don't know. Like, I don't know if I totally agree with that.
Holly, did you want to?
I just
I mean, that's an excellent book, and it really, really deconstructs the way naked women are seen. That's the main thing it's about. It's a discussion of art versus pornography. In context, it's pretty darn persuasive that nude is about posturing and about having the level of artifice that art supplies. That if you are naked, you are natural.
So I guess my question for all of you, do you think that the photos of this definition, are these women naked or are they nude? Like, I think according to that definition, in a lot of ways they are naked. I think that they are bearing their souls. I think that they are telling their stories and that they are showing themselves in a way that is very natural, and that is completely vulnerable. And so, in my project, I would say that according to that definition, these women are naked.
I would say it's academic paralysis, the way that's written. I think it's, you can get lost in the definitions. The more I've looked at my own response to nude art or naked art, if you want to call it that, I've come to believe that it really is about what's going on inside of your head. And one of the interesting things with Carrie and I is we can look at the same image and she can have a very visceral, I hate this response, and I can say, wow, that's the most amazing photograph I've ever seen. In fact, some of the stuff that's really triggered her was stuff that I thought she'd be fine with and that she'd be upset about other stuff that came out of the session. And so I believe personally that modesty and the way you view things is really about what's going on in your head, and the attempt to put some broad definition on it that works for everybody is not going to happen, and it just won't work.
So, it seems like there's a little bit of both there, right? Like, and I really like the word that Katrina uses in her website, which is bare, which is different, because there is this whole tradition of artistic nudity, Venus on the half shell, and it's, very stylized, and I like the fact that this is not we've got all these scripts about how to process images of people's bodies, right? There's like the porn script, which is you're supposed to be titillated by these bodies. There's the artsy script, like this is supposed to be beautiful lines and shapes. There is a sort of disgust script, which is, wow, that person's body is not good enough. They, need to work out more or go on a diet or whatever. I mean, there's this like, and that's, on the cover of every magazine, it's like, your body is not good enough. And I really liked the fact that you didn't tap into any of those scripts. I mean, because when I went to the website, it was like, these are people who I know. And I'm like, this is like a personal sharing moment or something with them. It's like, this is a side of them that I haven't seen, but I really care about these people. And so it's not a titillatingness or a disgustedness or an artsiness. It's like, wow, that's my friend, Kara, and she is awesome. And that's my friend, Jane Ann. And it's, and that's, and these are people in the room, man.
Jane Ann's like, I didn't put my name on them.
Jane.
It was
this really sort of wonderful experience of sort of a window into people's souls in a way. So that's what I really like.
Thank you so much for that comment. I think that you really touched on what I was trying to do, and I didn't know exactly how it was going to come out, but that was my goal. And then when I put it together, it was really powerful for me to put the images with their words. Like, as I read their words, I was very touched, and so I'm super grateful for that. There's someone else.
First of all, I want to say that this was a wonderful presentation, and both of you do breathtaking work. So, so, so beautiful. So one of the things, and I will absolutely defend, while I think Berger is right, in a lot of ways I will still defend the validity of the nude, but I think one of the things, I would call your work naked, Katrina, and that would be praise, because you not only photograph the women, but you include their faces. It's very, very, they cannot be objectified in the same way as just a torso, because their faces are there and their names are there. And
I did want the names. I mean, I let Jane Ann use her initial, but I wanted there to be some. Like, I didn't want to have just nothing there. Like, I wanted there to be a name and a story and a face, because that takes away the ability to objectify them at the same level.
That makes the trip down She's a Person Boulevard that you referenced from Teresa much easier to find and follow.
Yeah. From a male perspective and someone who has to be detail-oriented professionally, the details for me are beautiful in and of themselves. And I think you can look at the details without objectifying them. And I think that goes to what's in your head. You can look at the same image and one person can find it pornographic and another person can find it artistic.
I do agree with that. And I didn't have taste in every single photo, but I totally get what you're saying. And I think with my particular project being as kind of a political statement, like, I needed to have the faces there. There was another hand. Was it Monica?
Yeah, it was me. Hi, Monica.
Oh, I can use this. From Shuna's website. And I think the conversation has moved on from my comment. But I was just thinking, my experience wasn't really naked or nude. It was more like without clothes. I was like, okay, this is me, and I'm not wearing clothes. Which, yeah. I don't know if that's either of those things. So.
No, I appreciate that comment, because I think that as I photographed everyone, that was something I kind of said to each of the women. I was like, okay, don't think about the fact that you're sitting here naked. Just be in your skin. Just be here, and then I'm going to observe you, and I'm going to photograph you while you are just here. And so I think thinking of it that way, you see, so just being without clothes, like, it kind of took away the nerves of it, and some of the natural inclination to pose. I didn't really want poses so much, you know. I just wanted them to be.
Okay, you talked me into it. Where do I sign up?
So I've got a business card here, and on my website it gives my email address.
You have like 2 minutes. Another fussy academic distinction. I guess I would really say, Katrina, that yours are portraits.
Yeah.
They are portraits more than, and though your work are not portraits in the same way, because the models become models. So.
Sure. I'd like to say something about the without clothes comments. It's funny to be on a photo session, especially when you have multiple people that don't have their clothes on. Everyone just forgets that anyone's naked. And I worked with one photographer, I'm surprised he's not here, who's a nudist, and I've seen him naked photographing other people. And there's some pretty funny stuff out there of him as with these models, and there's a striking discord between the physical appearance. But it's he's a fun guy to work with.
I think the session's over, so thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.